Welcome back to the 9 till noon show. I'm joined now in studio by Brendan Devaney, the presenter of the DL Debate. Good morning, Brendan.
Good morning, Michaela. You're going well. Hey, good to see you.
Yeah, until I told you I was from Tyrone and it was silence.
I thought this was going to be the highlight of your show. Now we could get into an argument here pretty quick, but it's all good, all good.
Anyway, Brendan, great weekend of sport. I did watch a bit of the match yesterday.
Yeah. Listen, what a day, Michaela. I think everybody in Donegal has a smile on their face now, and anybody listening further afield, it's a Donegal supporter, because you know, the All-Ireland champions coming to town, people were saying 50-50 game, Armagh was going to step it up a notch, and you know, we were sitting on 4 points. You thought, if we lose this, we're going to Galway next week, could you get into a bit of trouble? But Donegal were absolutely brilliant, you know, to a man. You know, their defensive setup, their shape, their commitment to the tackle, and then the speed at which they broke up the pitch. You know, it was phenomenal. We hammered Armagh. It could have been a lot worse for them, to be honest. So, listen, some stellar performances in there. And, of course, you know, Michael Murphy
back.
I mean, it's kind of like a movie. You're kind of like you're watching a movie there now, your favourite movie.
Yeah.
Michael Murphy's the star man because, I mean, take that away from Barry Birdie, by the way, who was absolutely phenomenal. And another guy who's been there so long, what a servant. He's at some start of the season. But Michael coming on, I was texting him, I was saying, listen, I'd be happy enough if you got a couple of minutes under your belt, got a few touches of the ball, but I said, that's not the Murphy way.
You were giving him the pep talk?
I was trying to give him advice. That's not the thing to do. But, you know, for him to come on and do what he did, you know, there's so many things in it. I mean, he was out a couple of years, he's just back, he's had an injury, he's coming on sub, you know, you'd be thinking, right, work your way into the game. First ball he gets, left foot, bang. I was like, wow, that's unreal. So, like, you know, his 3 points, left foot, right foot, the free kick. And then the big one for me, Mikhail, I've been talking about it, his power out in the middle to potentially be a kick-out option. You know, the kick-out that he won. Like, there's not many players can do it. He has so much strength that if the ball is, like, within his area and he gets in front of you, like, even when he did the one-handed catch, like, he's just top class. And I say the scenes out there yesterday, you know, the win. I felt sorry for the stewards, actually, because they were told not to let people on the pitch.
Right.
And I think, and I'll just appeal to people to be a bit understanding. You know, these are people giving up their time to do this here. They were told not to let people on. I think the Gardaí said then, just let them on.
Right. And but it is health and safety.
It is. And they were getting a wee bit of stick, which isn't nice. You know, they're only trying to do their job.
Yeah.
Now, it was a brilliant scene, and you might think, well, with the emotion of yesterday, I've never seen a league game like that before. I've never seen a sold-out league game. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's championship stuff there.
Yeah.
Such as the interest around Donegal. And then the Michael story ended as well. You had Armagh champions there. We're also champions. So there was so much in it that I suppose there was going to be some attempt for people to get on the pitch. And I think it maybe was fine and right. But as I say, just appeal to people that it's not Stewart's fault in them situations.
Mm-hmm.
They're only doing their job. And they're up there as volunteers, you know.
And there was a bit of a kerfuffle whenever Michael Murphy came on. Just a bit.
Yeah, Aidan Fogart. I'm just thinking, we're only human.
It was silly.
And listen, it didn't take a flinch out of Michael. You know, it was Zinedine Zidane there, the European Cup final. It was one of those moments you just lost the head. Now, it's February, it's the league, right? Michael, you don't need to lay down the law now. This is not the time for that. I mean, let's say Armagh got relegated, let's say, and they won Ulster Championship. Nobody actually in Armagh would care.
Yeah.
So the fact that he thought, I need to set... What happened was, the whole emotion of Murphy coming out, the cameras is on them, the whole...
The roar from
14,000 people watching him. And even with someone of his experience, he lost the head and used his head. Whatever you want to say, Michael, listen, I, as I say, there's something about Armagh at times, you would know as a Tyrone woman, they just seem like they want this wee bit of extra physicality, if you like. They want to be trying to lay down the law with you, which I don't think. This is all Ireland champions. I'd be thinking, go and play the ball, play the game. Listen, just a silly moment. And it did have a big bearing on the match because, you know, particularly now with the restricted numbers and that, you have a spare player coming forward there now. So it just gave Donegal that wee bit of breathing space because I don't think at any stage we completely put Armagh out of the game. You know, even at the start of the second half, they come back and did a small bit. And you're thinking with a wee bit of the fin end goals seem to be the better scoring goals. There was a possibility of a few two-pointers. And as we see, leads can be wiped out. So that sending off had a bit of a bearing on it. But that said, you know, we could have scored a lot more. And I just thought, you know, all over the pitch. Sometimes you start to mention Donegal now. You could mention maybe 10 or 11 players. It probably played for me around about an 8 out of 10, which is fair play to Jim and the team and his trainers and everybody in there. Donegal are in a great place at the minute, mm-hmm. going away to Galway yeah. next week, so they're flying.
And I suppose they have that track record in the league now. They've won 3 out of 3 that, you know, they've got that buzz behind them now to keep going.
Yeah, and some people, and here's me with my complete hat on. I'm thinking, right, let's just chill it a wee bit.
Yeah, which, I have heard Donegal for Sam already.
Yeah, which is hard to do. Listen, you know, you can't go into a contest and say, we're going to play at a certain level. You got to play football the right way all the time. You can't kind of drop it and lift it down. Now, it would give you an opportunity to maybe tinker with the squad a bit, give players more game time, maybe rest players a bit, because the season's so condensed. Mm-hmm. You know, that, you know, last year, you know, in that Galway game, the very last game of the season, you know, we did seem to be run out of, we were a small bit jaded because there's so much pressure on you in all the games. You have a tough Ulster campaign, then you're going to the group stages, and then you're in all Ireland quarter semi. So just to kind of balance that out, so if you can get a wee bit safe in the league, maybe we can, because we definitely want to qualify for
reserve
a league final.
Reserve them then.
League final is a week before the Derry Ulster Championship game, so I think for Jim now in particular, we just want to be safe, but we pretty much are now, Michaela. So it's been a phenomenal start from our lads, and you know, talk about the buzz being back. It would have been back anyway. And then you add on Michael's return. Yeah. So it's a great time.
Yeah, but as yeah, being a Tyrone woman, it was lovely to watch,
yes.
though. And not that it was emotional, but you could see they were delighted Michael Murphy was back. And it was, I suppose it was returning to the years that were before as well.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Jim McGuinness is back, Michael Murphy's back.
That's it. And that's what's saying, it's like some kind of a, like for Donegal fans, all them brilliant memories. And when Michael retired, then you were like, he's irreplaceable. I never thought we'd see him back. And mm-hmm. here he is. And he just, like so many question marks then about, you know, him coming back in after a couple of years out, his age and the speed of the game. And yet he comes on and does what he does.
Yeah. Now, as if he's never, yeah. Been
listen,
away.
He didn't do any media or anything yesterday. And I can understand that, Michaela, you know, because Michael before obviously was the captain. He's in there and he's happy to do anything. But now that he's back in, he's just back in. I think he wants to get his place, do his job, mm-hmm. if you like. So he has to be given space to do that. And I think it's head down from now. It was hard for him to get off that pitch yesterday. But I think you got to embrace that as well. Because, you know, you have all those kids out there.
Yeah.
He's such a hero to everybody.
There, yeah.
And I know it was a wee bit awkward, but it was the first game back. We'd beaten all Ireland champions. So I think it was a beautiful scene mm-hmm. Yesterday to see that happening. So as long as you beat Tyrone now in a couple of weeks' time.
Anyway, there'll be lots more chat about yesterday's match on the DL debate tonight. What else have you got coming up, Brendan?
Sean Dunne's coming on. The GAA Congress is actually in Donegal Town next week, and it's the first time since 1988 it's been here. So it happens in 3-year cycles, Miguel. So it can be at GAHQ 1 year, and it can go out to counties right. of interest, and then whoever the president is, he can decide to have it. So Gareth Burns had it and it was actually in Newry, but it's a hotel there people would use a lot. So listen, it's coming to Donegal now. Sean Dunyan's going to be on. He's our Ulster Council delegate, and he's in the organising committee. He's the chair of it there, so he's coming on just to tell us about all that. So it's a big spotlight on Donegal.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting. Niall Cleary, former Donegal hurler, is on as well. He's doing a bit of a promotion push around just hurling in the county. They're having a night down in the Kirch Hotel on the 24th of February. It's 7 p.m. So it's just like shaping the future of hurling. They're just looking for anybody who wants to get involved in the game and that. So he'll be on the show as well. But the main part of the show will be on the GA from the weekend. Aaron mm-hmm. Kiernan's coming on, former Armagh star. Great pundit, good friend of mine, and Neil Loughran from the Irish News as well. He was at the game yesterday, so we'll round up all the GAA action with the two guys.
And no doubt you'll be keeping everybody entertained as always, Brendan.
Well, that's the business we're in, Michaela. You're doing a great job, by the way. You keep it up there, nobody.
Thanks. So that is the DL debate this evening after the 7 o'clock news, and it will be podcasted on highlandradio.com. Thanks, Brendan.
Thanks, Michaela.
We got a comment in there to say, super performance by Donegal yesterday and brilliant to see the return of Michael Murphy, our greatest ever. Shame on the example set by Armagh captain Aidan Forker. Headbutting has no place in GAA. Big discipline problems in Armagh. That's their second straight red card in 3 games, not to mention Armagh's serious discipline off the field problems. Did you watch the match yesterday? What did you think? Let me know, 086 60 25000. You can text or WhatsApp that number, and you can also give us a call call on 0749125000 or email comments at highlandradio.com. The time is 16 minutes past 11 and today's Monday focus is the Letterkenny Rotary Club, and to discuss it I'm joined in studio by Cynthia Fury, who's the president of Letterkenny Rotary Club, and Assistant District Governor Boyd Robinson, who is a member of the Rotary Club. Good morning to you both.
Morning.
Good morning.
So Cynthia, we'll start with yourself. What is the Rotary Club?
Well, the Rotary Club is an international charity, I suppose. It's been founded well over 100 years. It was founded by a guy called Paul Harris in America, who got together with a few of his business friends and to get together and see if they could help and do good in the world. And I suppose it stemmed from there. In Ireland, there's 67 Rotary Clubs. The district is Ireland. It's called 1160, and we're part of that.
Yeah. So, Boyd, it has been operating for decades in Letterkenny, and the work of the Rotary Club is brilliant. It's vital.
Yeah, we have a great organisation in Letterkenny. I suppose the main ethos of Rotary is fun and fellowship. We meet every Tuesday in the station house. And we have lunch and we have a lot of fun, and at the same time we have a big input into the community in terms of volunteering.
So Cynthia, what kind of projects do you work on in the Rotary Club?
Well, we have several annual projects really. Our major one is our major fundraising one is our Tree of Remembrance in the Letterkenny Shopping Centre at Christmas. We do it for usually St. Vincent de Paul and another charity, and our own Rotary has their own charity in the foundation. So we usually have the tree there for a couple of weeks, and it's very important to the community because it's been there for about 12 years. People come looking for us now. We have yellow ribbons, so you can get a yellow ribbon, put a message on it. You can remember people who are ill or passed away, or maybe family who are not around for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And people seem to get a lot of comfort out of it, so you just give a donation to the charity.
And this then, while somebody is remembering their loved one, this then can help another project, I presume, of yours in providing assistance for someone else.
Of course, yes, absolutely. I mean, we all know the needs of people in the current climate, and St. Vincent de Paul provide a very good service, so we always give them support at Christmas. And like, we have different charities through the years and everybody benefits. There's no losers in it. You mm-hmm. know, it's fantastic.
And Boyd, is it something annually you consider responding to humanitarian crises across the world? Do you consider them and maybe change, you know, who you donate to?
Yeah, we just pick different charities all the time, you know, based on what charities, you know, have the most needs. I suppose one of the big things that Rotary do internationally is the eradication of polio. Which they've been heavily involved in over the years, and at the moment, you know, polio is almost gone in the world. Although mm-hmm. you know, there has been a couple of cases recently, but Rotary internationally have been very proactive in combating that and getting people vaccinated.
So while there's the Letterkenny Rotary Club, does that then feed into the national picture as well, or your designated
location? Yeah, it feeds into national and international. I suppose one of the benefits we've seen of Rotary in past years is the time of the tsunami. We made an appeal here in Highland Radio and we raised quite a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And we were able to then send that to another Rotary Club that were on the actual area, and
right.
they were able to then spend that money, you know, directly.
Yeah.
And they knew where the right places for it was to go. So we've seen a massive benefit on, you know, the worldwide clubs being able to help each other.
And I suppose, Cynthia, that then shows how vital it is to have a local Rotary Club that, you know, say somebody does see, we know there's so many GoFundMe pages, and say somebody sees a link, but having then the Rotary Club, we know that's an official organisation, this is the right place for them to donate.
Absolutely. And just from saying what Boyd said about the international scene, like, if there is a crisis, like, you know, flood or war or something, we have a thing called Shelter Box.
Okay.
In the international scene, and we would contribute to that. And people, if people lost their homes through floods, they would send out this box that has all the sort of immediate needs for them. And so we can contribute and buy boxes and send it on to that as well. But sorry, I've forgotten your question.
No, it was just that, you know, if there's GoFundMe links, we see, say for an example, the tsunami that Boyd mentioned, somebody might see a GoFundMe link online. We know there's so many scams, but donating through yourselves, going to that humanitarian cause is the right way.
Absolutely, that's what we did the time of the tsunami. Because, and as Boyd said, it's important for us to collect money locally, but if we send it away into a big pot that we don't know where it's going, so that's why we link up with our colleagues internationally, so that we know that that money will be go to the right people.
Definitely. And Boyd, is there any current projects that you're working on?
We do have the tree, as Cynthia said. We also have the winter woolly warmer. We also help out in the community in terms of with tidy towns. We help a bit with that, and we also do interviews in schools for young people. You know, we go into the schools and do interviews so they can get experience on the interview process before they move on.
So, Cynthia, anybody that's interested in getting involved, how do they go about that?
Well, obviously, we meet in the station house every Tuesday, except the first Tuesday is the evening, and every other one's lunchtime. Any member of the Rotary Club, if people know them, they can make contact or leave a message at the station house for us, and we'll always get it.
And do you look for certain qualities in people, Boyd, or it's just anybody interested to help?
No, there is this persona, I suppose, in Rotary. You know, if you were asking a stranger in the street, you know, what is Rotary? And there's probably a persona that it's an old man's club or it's a business club or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's far from the case. You know, we're very much open to new members from all walks of life. And I'm sure anybody that's interested, they'll certainly get a lot of benefit out of Rotary. I've been a member now 25 years, and I have to say I've got an awful lot out of it.
And Cynthia, it's not a big commitment, is it?
Not really, no. As Boyd said, we do have a lot of fun at our meetings, and it's not anyway, well, serious when we're doing the work, but, you know, we do and great fellowship, and that's Rotary's number one thing is about fellowship. That's why we probably meet each week, because we're meeting up as a group, and it's for our own benefit as well.
Yeah, but, social.
I mean, anybody, you know, feel likes joining and they want to contribute to the community or internationally like that is just very welcome in Rotary.
Yeah. Perfect. So that is every Tuesday. They can just come along to the Station Hotel in Letterkenny. Perfect. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Lovely.
Thank you.
So just to have a quick look at some comments that have been coming in over the last couple of hours. So never hear of drivers going to jail for reckless driving. It's taking lives and having people damaged for the rest of their lives. Vehicles taken off them, jail or heavy fines. They soon done away with smoking indoors. Yeah, that does show that, you know, if they do, you know, implement it, that it can be done. So why do we not fix signs that are not working in the first place? Why do we put ramps in places that they are not allowed? Well, I suppose the argument was that, you know, the signs aren't working, people aren't adhering to the speed limits. So, you know, the race tables or the flashing lights that, you know, they are put in place then as a further deterrent. Another listener says Letterkenny needs proper speed reduction measures put in place, especially the Old Town Road and Pierce Road, which are affected by heavy traffic due to not adhering to the rules of the road by many of the drivers and lack of consideration of the pedestrians and those living within the area. We've been told that no speed reduction measures could be put in place because of the Nye Dock, which is now being relocated. Since the introduction of the double yellow lines on the road, the speed has increased by motorists. A number of measures could be put in place similar to which Councillor Meehan have been talking about, which was put to the council in the past. Another listener says, I think it would be a lot fairer if cameras were installed to clock your speed between distances. There are around four of these cameras throughout the country. I do know in Belfast, a particular stretch, there's maybe like four sets of traffic lights, and they have that it monitors how quickly you get to the next traffic light. Another listener says, at the speed camera in the new town, I would say that a lot of people were caught overtaking. €160 and 3 points is too much of a fine. Is that too much of a fine? I don't think so. You know, obviously, we're trying to tackle driver behaviour and obviously limit the number of fatalities. So I don't know if 160 euro and 3 points is too much. Years ago, there was a 10% leniency. Now that is not the case. Another listener says, Councillor Declan Meehan is right. It's enforcement that works. Look at the speed camera in Newton. It has caught so many. Getting points and a fine is the only thing that will work. In our village, they have put up new signs that say 80 kilometres an hour when the speed limit should be 60 kilometres per hour. We're coming into tourist season now. How will they know that it's 60 kilometres and not 80 kilometres a rural area? This is a rural area and needs a low speed limit. This is in Churchill and a waste of money. Yeah, that is true. Tourist season coming upon us and, you know, if people that use the road regularly aren't adhering to the speed limits or don't see the speed limit, how do we expect people who are unfamiliar to the roads? And we always do argue that during the summer months that, you know, road safety issues do need to be addressed because there are strangers coming to the roads. Another topic, I am a member of staff in the A&E in the hospital in Letterkenny, and I want to say it's not a great thing that's going on with security staff in the hospital in the A&E department, as there is about 5 or 6 porters that are covering shifts who aren't properly trained, and as the county's population has increased, so has admissions to the hospital, so it has put massive strain on those staff. Sligo Hospital has 4 security staff on at night and 4 security staff on days. They also have stab vests. Letterkenny, the listener says, has 2 security staff on nights and 2 on days. It needs serious addressing now. With a get-out clause by hospital management, responding to Highland Radio, multitask attendance should have nothing to do with security personnel in the hospital. It's a different role in the hospital legally. Another person says, the saddest part in all of this is that we even need security in hospitals. A hospital is a place that we go to for help, and the fact that staff get attacked is sadly a reflection of our society today. A listener says, I was at the Donegal match yesterday. The toilets were a disgrace. There was no water or hand drying facilities. People were standing for nearly an hour to get cups of tea. For a county match, we need better facilities. What a disgrace. I had a call this morning from an estate agent claiming that I was interested in a property in Texas. I didn't take her on, but just letting others know in case it is a scam. I would say, yeah, that is a scam. I noticed, I don't know if it actually just happened once, but it actually came up on my phone, scam caller, and it just ended the call. So I don't know if that is a thing, but I thought that was very, very helpful. Another listener has texted in, where do the remains of the birds killed off due to influenza go? I was told that their remains are spread over the land after they've been incinerated. I don't know, I'm not sure about that. If anybody knows, you can get in touch on 086 60 25000. Another listener, this relates to estate agents again. So, hi, I am emailing with a gripe about estate agent signage, which may be shared by other listeners. On Friday, an estate agent screwed a for sale sign on my fence without permission. When I asked the man who was applying the sign what he was up to, I got a cheeky answer. I then asked him to remove the sign. He did, but just stuck it on the neighbour's fence without their permission either. Neither my house or the neighbour's house is for sale. A house further down the road is. This led me to thinking, why are so many real estate signs needed in 2025 when we all have access to digital maps? The house in question that is for sale now has 3 separate signs directing people to it, 2 of which are not on the property that is for sale. This is definitely overkill and not needed. During the election, questions were raised about the extent of election poster usage. Surely real estate signage is just as bad. I question the benefit to the realtor also, as I would never do business with the one that ignorantly stuck a sign on my fence. I understand this is a bit of a rant, but it may also be a gripe of other listeners. Yeah, I suppose there was a lot of talk about road safety during the election campaign, but surely if somebody is sticking a sign on your property, that, yeah, that definitely shouldn't be allowed. I read in the newspaper that Ireland will be introducing autism-friendly parking spaces to support individuals with hidden disabilities such as autism. I would like to know about Donegal County Council's plans for implementing these spaces. We've received a sticker to display on car windshields, but are unclear when the initiative will be rolled out. Could you please check if we can get more details on the timeline and locations for these parking spaces? So we have asked the council for a response on that, and we will bring it to you as soon as we get it. Another comment for now. Hi, I witnessed a local bin company at a business premises in Letterkenny collect two large wheel-type bins, one black, one green, and empty both into the same compartment of the lorry. Made me think, why are we separating our waste on a daily basis and this is happening? We did have that experience in our house as well over Christmas. I am a stickler for separating general waste and recycling most of the time. And my husband was going to the dump anyway, so we had it all separated. And he was like, oh, I just have household waste and then recycling. And he was told just to put it all in the one as well. So yeah, maybe somebody can enlighten the two of us there what is happening. Well, welcome back to the 9 till noon show now. I am joined by no stranger to the airwaves on the screen, of course, by Marty Morrissey. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning, Michaela. delighted that you're here and not Greg Hughes. Huge improvement. Sorry about that, Greg.
I don't know about that. I don't know how he'll take too kindly to that.
Not at all. We have to slag him when he's not here. He can't defend himself then, which is great.
Yeah.
Well done, Michael. I know from others that it's your first days doing the morning show. So well done.
So we're getting best there. Thank you. Mm. And I'm sure you've obviously had plenty of experience in this field. And we were just talking about how, you know, you do need to be versatile, and you've certainly done that.
No, I think it's important in any walk of life that you're not just a one-trick pony, because it's so easy to be in a box. Okay, my box, which I love, by the way, is sport.
Yeah.
But every now and then I like to kind of come out of it and do something else and challenge myself. Life is short.
Yes.
So, So stay versatile, Michaela.
Yeah.
And do different things.
We'll keep trotting along.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Marty Party is taken to Foreign lands.
Yes, we went to Spain last October to Benimadden, or Benimadena is how I pronounce it. I believe the Spanish way is Benimadden.
Right.
Yes, I learned that last year.
I would have been Benimadena as well.
Yeah, and we got a great reaction. You know, I mean, to be honest with you, Michaela, this started with Oliver Callan and Mary Rosenstock taking the you know what out of me in their shows, and then I said, you know what, will I embrace it or will I reject it? And I thought, I shall have a bit of crack with it. So we did a couple of shows, and one of the shows we did was here in Letterkenny. In the Clowry
Hotel. I was
actually
at it.
Michaela.
Very good.
Really?
Yeah.
I knew there was something very special about you.
This is a full circle moment. Yeah.
But you know what it is then, Michaela, which is great. And so there were two people there, Deirdre Grant, who is working with Celestia Travel, but from Letterkenny at these parts, and the late Sean Skeen from Celestia Travel. And Sean came all the way from Dublin to come to the show in Letterkenny, and he said, you must bring this to Spain. Mm-hmm. And the two of them were at me, and I said, no, you can't do it. You know, it's different if you're doing a podcast, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And then following Christmas, they came at me again, and we said, okay, let's try it. Let's dip our toe in the water. Going back to what we started our conversation with. So we got a great reaction last October, but we're changing the venue this time, Michaela. We're going to Calpa. Which is basically we'll be taking a flight to Alicante mm-hmm. and from Alicante there'll be buses to pick you up and bring you a luxury bus, may I emphasise, thank you very much. A luxury bus will bring you all the way to Calpa. And Calpa is beautiful. Deirdre and myself went out there. We were looking at various venues because I had an idea. I wanted to change it to a different venue.
Yeah.
Maybe go to Barcelona and, you know, let people have a day off and go to a football match or whatever. The sport DNA was coming out of me. But anyway, we found Calpa and God, I have to say it is gorgeous. And
yes.
The hotel, the Del Monte, will be very near. It's a minute and a half, 2 minutes walk to the beach. And this beach has a beautiful boardwalk, beautiful beaches, cafes lining it. And there's a magnificent island. I mean, it's like what you see in the movies.
Yeah, beautiful.
So that'll all be, it'll be October 2nd to October 9th. So I'm looking forward to it.
And a lovely time of year to go as well.
The weather
will be beautiful.
And I suppose from my point of view, the sport is my mad busy season is kind of over at that stage. So I can take a week off and enjoy the crack of the music. Because being from West Clare, Michaela, you know, it was Anthony Daly. I'll give you a GA quote. When he got the Liam McCarthy Cup in 1995, he said, we love our traditional music, but we love our hurling as well.
Yeah.
And that's very true. I love music all sorts. And we have a fantastic lineup because coming on this trip, Michaela, which I'm sure you might even join us since you were at the one in Letterkenny.
Yes, it was brilliant.
Yeah, we have the Tumbling Paddies are coming and they're hugely popular. We have Sean Kane, we have Tommy Fleming, We've Trevor Lockery, who I believe is a huge, big hit up this part. Olivia Douglas, the Galway Tenors. There is a long,
and
long...
And Anor as well.
Anor are
Donegal
here.
Zone.
And may I say that we have a gentleman coming who will co-present the shows with me, who I love, and he's a Donegal man, and that's Noel Cunningham.
Oh, very good.
And Noel came last year, and he absolutely nailed it.
Yes.
People just loved it because he told jokes, and he's such a wonderful character, and I love him to bits. I just love his company. And Noel is coming, Anor are coming. And Deirdre Grant is your woman from Kilester Travel, from Donegal.
Yeah.
That's three people, three elements.
Yeah,
that
so that's one reason for that's loads from Donegal.
Correct, correct.
And everybody is lifted and laid. So if you're travelling on your own, you're part of a group as well. You don't have to worry about making your own way to the hotel or anything.
Not at all. Everything will be provided for you. And I think, you know, last year was my first time doing this and I really, really enjoyed it. And Deirdre and Kilester Travel did a fantastic job. Like, Deirdre's job was to do that. My job was to kind of put the show together. And she was fantastic. And people really enjoyed it. And a lot of people went on their own and became part of the group. And to me, that's very important because if they're spending a week to come with me, the least I can do is spend the time with them.
Absolutely.
And meet them and get to know them and have the crack.
Yeah.
I mean, as I get older, Michaela, I keep saying that life is short. And I hear all sorts of sad stories and heartbreaking stories. And indeed, tragedy befell my own family as well. So I know, I suppose it has motivated me that life is short. Let's make the most of
it. That's
it. And there's so much going on in the world at the moment that's not very good.
Yeah, it's an outlet for people. And
it is.
You know, they can make friends for life in this as well.
And that's what I'm finding at last year's trip. We had people who had, not only musicians, but the people who went, they got to know each other really well. And I wanted to bring the people of Donegal because there is that connection with Deirdre Grant and the late Sean Skeen. We lost him a couple of weeks ago. And Sean really wanted us to do this. So, and the fact that he came to Letterkenny was important to me. So I want to bring the people of Donegal with me if they'd give us their time for a week.
Yeah.
October 2nd, October 9th. And if you want a book, you can go on to Deirdre at kilestertravel.com. Or if you're a bit old fashioned like me, you can ring Deirdre at 087-68-93-519. That's 087-68-93-519.
And Marty, where did the Marty Party come from?
It kind of started with Oliver Callan and Mary Rostock, because I remember my own parish a couple of years ago, we were opening a pitch and the signal, we went to a pub, we were there until 3 in the morning, don't tell anybody, right? And when I came out at 3 in the morning, all these texts started flying in. There was no signal in the bar.
Right.
And I began to realise, God, you're looking well on the Late Late Show. I said, I'm not on the Late Late Show, I'm down in West Clare, my own place. But it was Mario Rosenstock with the pink shirt, the hair all over the place, down to his belly button, and he imitating me.
Yeah.
So Colin Murray, the late Colin Murray, was a great friend of ours in RTE. He was a great newsreader, a sports reader. And I remember way back in USA, Italian 19, USA 94, Après Match were very, very popular in the sports bar. They were imitating different people. And Colm didn't really like being imitated. And I said to him, Colm, the greatest compliment to any person, to any broadcaster, is when they imitate you. And it's done in a nice way.
Yes.
And it's done because the people love you. So then, 20 years later, whatever it was, when this happened to me, I said, geez, I better embrace this.
Yeah.
So I thought, how can I do this? And as I say, I love the music and we did a couple of shows. We got a great reaction in Killarney. We started there in the INEC. We got about 700 people. Then we went to University of Limerick, the theatre. We had 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And we had 1,000 in Leisureland in Galway. And then we went up to Mayo and then to here in Letterkenny. So we did a little tour along the West Coast. And then I was going to do more. And then between one thing and another, didn't get around to it. And then Spain happened. And like it takes full concentration, you know, to organise it. Because
obviously
when you're doing my thing, what I do, like what you're doing, it's busy and you try and make sure that the job is done.
Yeah. But I'd say the crack would be 99.
The crack was mighty. And you know, as I said to you, Michaela, life is genuinely short. You'll never know. And this will give you an outlet. You have the sun during the day. At lunchtime, we'll have music by the pool. And at nighttime, you have a list a mile long of Anor. Noel Cunningham will entertain you, I can assure you. Trevor Lockery, the Tumbling Paddies, Sean Kane, Tommy Fleming. They're all there with us for the week.
And it's such a mix.
It is a mix.
Something for everybody.
Yeah. And it's not solely, there is a bit of country, but there's folk, there's a bit of traditional. Cherish the Ladies are coming. And I know Cherish the Ladies are really, they're spectacular. Mm-hmm. And there's five or six involved and they play traditional music. But I'm looking forward to having them with me for the week as well.
Yeah. Have you kept up the dancing since dancing
with the
stars?
Michaela, as you saw there when I was walking in, I was barely able to walk in the door. No, not really. Although I did dance at the party in mm-hmm. October, because there was no other way, you were dragged up. and I did enjoy it. And when I mean, Kevin Dundon does the Today Show on the same day that I do it, on a Friday. Mm-hmm. So I kept saying to Kevin Dundon, you've got to get to programme 8, because I got to programme 8 before I got the P45. But I don't know what programme he's at now, but he's getting there and he's still
yes.
there. But I still watch it. It was one of the great experiences of my life, mm-hmm. Michaela. It really was. Because I remember I was with Ksenia, and it was very funny because we were practicing in the Liffey Trust dancing studio, which is down by the docks, down mm-hmm. that area. And at lunchtime, I'd have Ksenia, we'd start at 9:30 to 1. Then you join all the professional dancers who all looked handsome, gorgeous, fit, six-pack. And here comes Morrissey with a little bit of extra muscle. So I kept eating my chicken wings and my cans of Coke, and they were eating what I call grass salad. So I said, Morrissey, you better change here, change your tune. So I started drinking water, having salads. Well, I was kind of forced into it by Ksenia. And by the time I was finished, I'd lost almost 2 stone.
My God.
So I appreciated that.
Yeah.
But it was one of the great experiences. I mean, it was funny, Michaela, because, you know, when Larry Bass, the producer and the owner of Shinawil, rang me, I said, not a chance.
Yeah.
And he kept at me again. And I said, okay, let me think about it. Mm. So I said I'd try it. And I remember the first song was Joe Dolan, Me Oh My, you know that one?
Yeah.
And I thought, I have this, because it's a jive. And I thought, you know the way we do jives in Donegal or in Clare, but it wasn't
very,
that jive.
Very
it was
different.
Ballroom, arms up, elbows up, and it took me 6 weeks to get that dance. And then the problem after that...
Yeah, it's a very short time frame then, isn't it?
Sunday, the group I was with, you know, we'd Deirdre O'Kane, we'd Bernard O'Shea, we'd Rob Heffernan, we'd Annie Geary, we'd a great crowd. And every Sunday night, we went on the tear.
A Mardi party.
We had a
Sunday.
Mardi party. And that's also added to the thing. So the Mardi party and tabloids really had a great time. The Mardi party is out on Sunday nights. And we did every nightclub and every pub, mm-hmm. I think, which we weren't supposed to do. And then Monday morning, it would dawn on you at 9:30. I have to learn this dance between now and Thursday, Friday, because you're really supposed to know your dance by Thursday.
Right.
So every evening, Bernard O'Shea and Rob Heffernan and myself and Deirdre O'Kane would go into one of the dance studios, and all we'd do is laugh.
Yeah.
Because they were good now.
Yes.
But they'd start laughing when they'd see me moving. But it was great fun.
Yeah.
Great experience. And
the glitz and glamour of it. It's lovely. It's great watching it.
It is.
Not that I would be too left feet myself. But.
Well, you and I should dance together. We should enter it next year. Michaela and Martin.
Eminem.
Hey! It is. And it's ideal from a television point of view, from an audience point of view. It's 6:30 on a Sunday evening. And, you know, you get to know that if you don't know the people who are performing, you get to know them.
Yeah.
And they kind of become household names for that 2 months.
That's it. It is a lovely way. Like, you might watch it because you know a few names. Mm. But, yeah, you do get to know them and get to know people's personalities, which is lovely. You see them on TV, you hear them on radio. So it's nice to get that personal touch as well.
And you also begin to realise they're all normal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Kevin Dundon, for instance, is normal. And everybody, now I don't know too many in this particular group, but the ones who were there with me were very nice. And we've remained friends for years afterwards. So it is kind of, it's one of those life-changing moments where you feel that fun still exists and we can have the fun, you know, so it's wonderful.
But sport obviously is your number one love.
Yeah, that'll never change. And I was in Mayo yesterday for Mayo against Tyrone. Mayo had a great win over Tyrone. Donegal had a great win over Armagh. Mm-hmm. I saw that last night. And great to see Michael Murphy back, who I'd be one of his biggest fans. What a footballer that man is. Brilliant.
Yeah.
And I do, genuinely, I'm not being plumassy. I do like the way Donegal are shaping up. And
very strong, they're
playing a nice brand of football. And Jim McGuinness, I think, the man is a genius. And it's great to have him back with Donegal and, you know, what he did last year. But I just feel that they're shaping up nicely. It's only February now, but I like it.
Confident.
I like what I see, you know.
Yeah.
Mayo yesterday needed to win, and they won, you know, in the very end, but they showed a lot of character. So, I like the new rules, Michaela.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if
it mixes it up too, you know,
it
people
does.
Have watching it for years and years.
Yeah, and it was getting boring with all the defensive play. But now at least, you know, the 3x3 and the solo and go I like. I'm not too sure that I like the goalkeeper coming all the way out. I think they should be limited. I certainly think the number of hand passes should be limited. But that, I presume, will evolve and change over the next couple of months.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's kind of giving football back its life. And the one thing I love, Michaela, sorry I'm going on about sport, is the high fielding back in the middle of the field. I love it.
Yeah.
That's the Gaelic football that we fell in love with.
Yeah. So, Marty, remind us again about the Marty Party.
The Marty Party is going to Calpe. You fly from any airport you like, Knock, Belfast, Dublin, Cork, Shannon, or indeed if you're over in the UK, you can come to Alicante, and then you'll be picked up there and brought to Calpe. It's from the 2nd to the 9th of October. We have the Tumbling Paddies coming for the first time, and they have a huge following. We have Tommy Fleming, Sean Kane, Unor from Donegal, Noel Cunningham. We have Trevor Lockery, Olivia Douglas. We have the Galway Tenors, Patrick Roach, Patrick O'Sullivan. We have a huge cast.
Yeah,
and every night will be a little bit different. And I promise you that you'll really, really love it. So it's best thing is email Deirdre at cholestertravel.com, or like myself, you can ring her at 087-6893-519. 087-6893-519. And look, will you come for the music and the crack?
Yeah.
Are you coming?
It is guaranteed music and crack,
isn't it?
It
is, 100%. You came
to
Letterkenny.
We'll see how the annual leave pans out. But yeah, I'd say it'd be brilliant few days, a week actually.
A week.
A
week of madness.
And
sunshine during the day.
Yeah.
And the beauty of this as well, Michaela, is that last year we learned a little bit because we were up high up on the mountain. But this time we're a 2-minute walk to the beach, and the beach is lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go for a nice walk in the morning, or you can lie out in the sunshine. Please God, it'll be sunny, and it will be.
Yeah.
Or go down for a walk on the boardwalk and go into a cafe.
Beautiful.
Well, come back to us then every night for the crack and the music.
You've certainly sold it anyway, Marty.
I've tried my best.
It was great, Chandy. Thanks so much
for coming
up to us this morning.
And well done on your morning show.
Thank you very much. I'm joined now on the line by Vincent. Good morning to you, Vincent.
Good morning, Michaela. Thanks for having me.
Vincent, you have a proposal which you believe could help improve road safety.
I do. I've been thinking about this and talking to other people about it, and it's just an idea, and I'm hoping that it can be explored later on by the relevant people. I believe that, driving is a form of education, and I think if we could introduce some sort of driving or learning permit through the schooling, perhaps through the transition year, you know, introduce them to the rules of the roads, driving, and perhaps if it was possible for them, enable them to get their learner permit, and then maybe the following year, as part of the curriculum, perhaps to get their full license, full driving license. At least then that leaves the foundation for, you know, safer driving in the future, and the young people would have a good understanding of it before they actually went out and bought their own car, or they were. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because obviously road safety is a huge issue. The number of road deaths is continually growing, and it is important that you do start the education young. And I suppose, as you talked about there, getting the learner permit, but it's important to explore the dangers on the road. There's such an excitement once you pass your test to get out there, but it is so dangerous, and people need to understand the reality of this.
You're 100% right there. And I think the younger that people are introduced to this, it'll be fantastic for them, you know, for the future. Not only that, if some of them will not go on and buy a car or do the driving test, but at least, you know, they could be cycling or they'd be walking, and at least then they'd be introduced to the rules of the road, and, you know, high vis vests. Could be used for people that are walking and cyclists, and people be made aware of the surroundings on these roads, you know, the traffic, the pedestrian traffic and cyclists, as I said.
Yeah, and do you think that more needs to be done on top of this? You know, we have the Donegal Road Safety Show every year, but is there enough of a focus on those hard-hitting events?
I don't think so. I don't think so. It's going back, you know, once you learn something at school, you know, it sticks with you and, you know, it gives you a great education for what lays ahead. You'd be more aware and, you know, education's a fantastic thing. And if you do get it at an early age, like the amount of pressure that people are under, you know, even sitting the theory test, the time they put into that. And I believe if there's somebody through the education, you know, if it's possible to do it through the schools, that's, problems could be talked and discussed and people can bounce questions off each other and they get the right answer. And having an instructor or somebody that's in, you know, professional to instruct them and guide them, I think it would stand them in a great stead. And then preparation for the driving test itself would be brilliant, because a lot of it is done by, you know, on their own. And when they have other people with them going through the same thing, you know, they can bounce ideas off each other and familiarise themselves and get to learn things that, you know, sometimes things aren't really clearly understandable. And when you have somebody in the classroom that can explain it in more detail and, you know, on a level that is acceptable to the individual.
Yeah, absolutely. And it would, you know, there's so many lengthy waiting lists to get your theory test, to get your driving test. So this could help in that as well.
I think so. And not only that, you know, from the safety point of view for the future, but by perhaps introducing this, that you could create jobs for people within the education system, you know, that can concentrate on this. And, you know, I think it's worth exploring. I think, you know, the powers that be, that they should give it more attention. You know, having a seminar once a year, it's not enough. And, you know, fair play to Highland Radio and the media. They've been advertising about these new signs about the reduced speed limits. There's still a lot of people that, you know, don't understand what's going on. So I think, you know, from my experience and other people's experiences from historically moving forward, I think the way to go is get the information to the people at a young age and see where it takes us. It can't do any harm. I think it'll be, if we save one life or save one accident, I think that's you know, it'd be a fantastic result.
Yeah, well, definitely an interesting proposal there, Vincent. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. And that is all from the 9 till noon show. Thank you so much to Carling Orr and Shannon Wilkin, who have held my hand through the past 3 hours. John Breslin is up next on Around the Northwest.